Welcome to Working in Teams, Unit 2, Forming and Developing a Team for HIT. At the end of this unit, the learner will be able to describe stages of team development, identify the needs of the team at each described stage, establish and clarify common goals and purpose for a team, identify key characteristics of effective team members, and identify key factors in maintaining HIT teams. This unit will begin with an overview, then move to components, importance in building effective teams, followed by investigations of the life cycle of teams, forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. Define team mission and objectives, followed by identify resource needs and availability. Define the purpose of a team, its mission, action, goals, and objectives, which can be viewed in a hierarchy. Distinguish tasks, action items, and maintenance, people functions, and concerns, and finally, a summary and conclusion. There will also be a couple of exercises scattered throughout the unit. This unit encompasses the following topic areas: understanding the stages of team development, assessing the needs of the team at each described stage, establishing clear common goals and purpose for a team, identifying key characteristics of effective team members, and acknowledging key factors to maintaining HIT teams. Katzenbach and Smith, in their book, The Wisdom of Teams, highlight components important in building effective teams. These include meaningful performance challenges, and these would include significant organizational challenges that help to energize teams, no matter where they are in the organization. A strong performance ethic, rather than developing a team performing alone in an environment, it is important that organizational leaders include the team as part of the very fabric of the organization. Discipline within the team and across the organization create the conditions for team performance, and this discipline can take on many forms. It can shape a common purpose, agree on performance goals, define a common approach, develop high level of complementary skills within the team, and have each of the members of the team hold themselves accountable. This discipline in the health IT environment is across the board, regardless if it is a small community physician's office or a clinic or a dental office. For example, the discipline of being able to commit the time by a provider is at a premium, and the teams need to understand that that time needs to be well used. The team needs to run very lean and mean. Once you have those providers in a room, their knowledge and expertise is invaluable to an HIT team. A couple other components, then, are that teams should be a basic unit of performance in most organizations. In any situation regarding the combination of multiple skills, experience, and judgments, as they are truly the case in HIT environments. Finally, team dynamics should support learning and behavioral change more so than large organizational units or individuals left to their own devices, and this as well as highlighted in HIT environments. And now we move into looking more specifically at the five stages of team development. Here is a graphic that shows a traditional progression through the life cycle of teams from stage 1 through stage 5, forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. And we will take a closer look at each of these stages as we move forward. The most influential model of the team development process is that of Bruce W. Tuckman. In 1965, he gave us a way to interpret and make sense of the various stages groups pass through on their way to becoming an effective team. Tuckman described this journey as five distinct stages of team development: forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. At first glance, the model suggests that teams will move through each of these stages in a predictable sequence. However, in reality, teams progress through these stages and remain at different levels for varying lengths of time. Some teams can become stuck in a particular stage and fail to progress while others can regress to an earlier stage of team development. Stage 1 is forming. What does it look like? Team members are reserved and polite, putting on their best behavior to create a good first impression. Conflict is avoided at all costs because of the need to be accepted into the group. There may be a sense of excitement and opportunity, but also cautiousness and uncertainty about the future. Team members reflect not only on the tasks at hand, but also about each other. Initial ground rules are established as the team begins to discover how to work together. In HIT, it's important to have the most effective people around the table, and that is part of the forming in a team. You might have, for example, an office in a community that has several offices under one physician. And to have people from these several offices on the team is important. They all bring something different and unique to the group. Stage 2, storming. What does it look like? Differences in opinion are more common and are expressed more openly. Conflicts emerge around interpersonal issues and task needs. Power struggles may emerge as leadership is challenged and factions begin to form. Team members may compete for positions, challenge goals, or resist task requirements. Many teams commonly stall at this stage. So earlier, we had mentioned about the physician office that had a multiple office practice and the importance of having people from each office sit down on this team. You could have, in an HIT team, people from one office resenting people from the other office, actually driving system application functionality based on how their workflows go instead of trying to look across enterprise-wide to come up with a viable solution for all the offices. Stage 3, norming. What does it look like? A sense of renewed optimism as the team begins to feel a sense of team identity. It experiences increased cooperation as roles and responsibilities become clearer and agreement on norms and expectations for behavior are reached. As previously stated, the multi-office physician's business, you can have people who are challenged when they are storming and after everything settles down and they understand what the expectations are of the team, how often they are going to meet, what they will resolve based on what is shaken out, and how they will make those decisions across the enterprise. Stage 4, performing. What does it look like? Reaching this stage is largely dependent upon the successful transition through the previous stages. The team knows clearly what it is doing and why. Relationships are strong, and while disagreements may occur, they are resolved quickly and positively. Roles become flexible and functional, and group energy is channeled into the task. There is maximum work accomplishment, interdependence, personal insight, and constructive self-change. The team that is for the physician's multiple office business at this point has now reached the pinnacle of their success. They are able to ideally look at the issues across the enterprise, resolve them without any conflict, and reach a mutual decision that is best not only for each individual office, but for the business entity as a whole. A team at the performing stage can either 1. Return to the forming stage as group membership, leadership, and the team's purposes change. 2. Decline into a, quote, dorming stage as the group becomes complacent. Or 3. Adjourn as the group successfully reaches its goal, completes its work, and disbands. In HIT, as we have previously stated, it is important to use the clinician's time in the most efficient manner possible. Toward the end of the performing stage, if the physician's multi-office practice happens to lose a few team members due to relocation or other circumstances, the team could return to a forming stage and look at other initiatives that could be brought forward to work through. It is important at this stage to be able to recognize the signs that you might be slipping into the dorming stage so as to avoid wasting valuable time, talent, and resources. The adjourning stage is actually the ribbon at the end of the race. You've reached your goal, you've accomplished what you set out to do by forming the team, and you're ready to move on to the next assignment. As was mentioned on the previous slide, a team may enter the phantom stage of dorming. What does it look like? This stage is not included in Tuchman's original work. It was identified by later writers. Once the performing stage is reached, there is a risk that the team will neglect the task of maintaining commitment. This neglect will see the team slide gradually into the cozy, dozy stage of dorming. In this stage, the team becomes complacent. Satisfied by past achievements, they are content to leave challenges to someone else. An indicator of dorming might occur during team meetings held during the lunch hour. Team members who earlier were enthusiastic about the project and the team effort are now content to simply enjoy their lunch and socialize, even though important work still remains to be done. Stage 5, adjourning. What does it look like? Adjourning is typically related to the end of a project team. However, it's also relevant when the purpose and structure of team changes substantially due to sale, merger, or a restructuring process. This stage can be particularly stressful when the dissolution of a team is unplanned. This stage involves completion of tasks, termination of roles, and the disbandment of the team. This stage is also referred to as mourning, given the sense of loss experienced by some team members. Adjourning becomes even more prevalent if you have a very successful team experience. It is difficult, to say the least, for folks to let others go when they have reached a part in a project where it is successful and they receive the recognition that is so justly deserved in order to bring something to light, such as a system or application. Now that you have had a chance to identify with some of the stages of development, we would like you to experience a personal exercise. First, provide an example from your experience in teams at each stage of the cycle. You can choose different teams for different stages, or you stay within the same team for all 5 stages. Then, describe why you believe each stage was a valuable part of the team's development, or perhaps why it wasn't a valuable part of the team's development. Feedback will be provided by your instructor to your accomplishment on Exercise 1. This is Working in Teams, Unit 2B, Forming and Developing a Team for HIT. Defining Team Mission and Objectives. Project teams are formed for a specific purpose to complete an assigned project within certain specifications. The project team is a working unit of individual members sharing a common mission using a structured approach to integrate individual skills. Although sharing a common mission and vision, not all teams have a team unity. When you have a team, it is important to make sure that everyone on the team understands the reason why they are there and that the team mission and objectives are important to bring up at the very top of your team gathering. In HIT, a lot of times it is also important to reiterate the mission and objectives during the course of team meetings. There are 3 main components in any team's work. First, goal. Results-oriented tasks or content aspects, such as team goals and objectives. These are usually developed through interaction with team members. Second, methodology. Process aspect, which includes the team's interactions and how members work together, such as leadership, team roles, etc. Teams, especially technical teams, frequently struggle more with process issues than with task issues. And third and finally, resources. Time, budget, computer facilities, educational tools, and administrative support. After a team has defined their mission and objectives, it is important for them to identify their resource needs and availability of resources to fulfill their needs. These can come in a variety of packages and can tend to a variety of issues. Using the physician's practice with multiple offices example that we started earlier in this unit, it is important to identify the people from each office that will be sitting on the team and how they will be able to contribute their individual knowledge for each respective physician's office. Planning the initial meeting has to be taken into consideration because team members from different offices could be separated by considerable distance. It is, therefore, important to work out the logistics of holding face-to-face meetings, at least in the early stages. The technical requirements and business aspects of the proposed application need to be discussed during these initial face-to-face meetings. Each office should feel free to conduct its business a little bit differently as circumstances require, but all of them share the same goal from a business standpoint, which is to be profitable. Remember that good communication is paramount when you are dealing with people separated by distance between offices across the enterprise. Leadership requirements also need to be addressed from the outset, as team leaders will be the ones primarily driving the team's momentum. And finally, customer requirements need to be taken into consideration by an HIT team. These are, of course, the physician's patients, but there are also other customers who benefit from the team's efforts, such as the other office personnel and the team itself. After you have identified your needs and availability of resources, the team needs to get started. First, we have to determine who should be members of the team. Then we need to establish rules for engagement by the team members themselves. That is, the ground rules upon which they will individually commit, and therefore, as a collective, the team will perform at their utmost abilities. After establishing the ground rules, it would be important to define and clarify individual roles and expectations as well as their responsibilities moving forward. This is an important element because if teams are not involved in that activity, oftentimes individuals will get where they are really playing out of position rather than playing to their strengths on the team. After that, we need to spend some time developing an initial action plan. This doesn't have to be the final form, but it needs to be one that can be worked off of as a platform that will include how often people will meet and when they will meet as a team. After the individual action plan development, it is also important to create an important assessment tool that can help check their progress to make sure that the team is progressing as they should be progressing, and that can be used to monitor their success. Distinguishing task and relationship behavior is important for team members. We will be using Paul Hersey's situational leadership diagram to initiate an understanding of both relationship and task behaviors. We will then look at the roles of task relationships and ineffective team member behavior. A model that is helpful in understanding behaviors of team members and team leaders is one called situational leadership, developed by Paul Hersey. In this model, the relationship behavior and task behavior are placed on a matrix where you can go from low to high directive activity on tasks and low to high relationship activity that is more supportive of others' functioning. The task behavior, obviously, is to try to get the jobs done and stay on time and on target with the projects. The relationship behavior is to extend the value of the relationships within the team and team members. This matrix allows us to look at low and high behaviors on both the supportive side as well as the directive side. And it helps to give teammates some understanding of the value of both of these behavior forms. Task behavior roles are roles that may lead to things such as goal setting, organizing, establishing the timelines, directing and controlling some of the team processes as they are working on their various activities. There are some task behavior roles that have been identified. The initiator is one who is always starting something, bringing up new ideas, suggesting activities, taking the initiative, imagination, and the ability to clarify and define and perhaps state some new issues as they present a challenge to the other team members. The orienter is someone who asks, what is the topic we are discussing, and helps focus the thinking of the group. All members of the team should be able to play the orienter role at one point or another. A facilitator is someone who keeps things moving. This is a catalyst for good discussion. An evaluator is someone who determines the progress of the group and makes sure they are meeting their aims and goals. An organizer is someone who takes a look at the progress of the group as a whole, that is, the effectiveness of the entire team and the quality of their contributions. The summarizer brings together the ideas of everyone and points out that the existing relationship between ideas of each other is important and helps to correlate all that has been said by the team members. A fact seeker is generally a straight thinker who wants the facts and keeps them in touch with reality. He tries to separate fact from opinion. A fact giver is someone who contributes information based on experience and knowledge. While working as part of an HIT team, you may notice that there will be others on the team who seem to exhibit one or more of these behaviors as you work toward accomplishing your team's objectives. Relationship behavior roles are those that are really focused on giving support, working at facilitating effective interactions, and providing feedback when necessary. Let's look at the roles that are listed on the screen. An encourager is someone who stimulates discussion and leads others into the conversation who might not otherwise actively be participating. A harmonizer is someone who attempts to reduce tension among team members, realizing that progress depends on differences of opinion and diversity of thought, and making sure that all sides are given the opportunity to be heard. A compromiser, similarly, wants to make sure the team can work towards suitable compromise when necessary to move the effort forward. A gatekeeper makes sure no one team member is permitted to monopolize, or on the other side, is too shy to come into the discussion. A consensus tester is someone who will, from time to time, ask that very important question: how do we all feel about this situation right now? This is a way to, quote, check the pulse of the team members as they move forward and become ready for the next steps. Finally, a process observer is someone who monitors the behaviors that are taking shape on both the task forward side and the relationship side. Ineffective roles of team behavior include someone who acts as an aggressor, who ridicules, questions, and attacks the status of others on the team. A blocker, someone who seems to take it in their best interest to always put down the ideas that are brought up by any of the others on the team. A monopolizer is someone who wants to always be speaking and always wants their opinions to be heard first and foremost. A recognition seeker is someone who perhaps doesn't do as much of the effort work but wants all the glory of the team products. An avoider is someone who tends to always move away from conflict. And healthy conflict can be rather positive for team discussions. A prankster is someone who lacks interest in the team, draws attention to themselves with constant wisecracks, and basically prevents the team from accomplishing much of anything at all. Another ineffective role that can exist on an HIT team is that of the passive-aggressive. The passive-aggressive role actually can cause a team to come to a screeching halt. Once the team has gone through all of the steps that come to a decision, the passive-aggressive role will then become aggressive. There isn't much communication before the decision is made. They don't have a lot of input to it, or very minimal. And then, when the decision is made, they can become aggressive as to their thoughts and beliefs as to why it is not a good decision. All the ineffective roles can also exist on the HIT team as well. Selecting the right members for a team. Having the right core team can make or break a project. Therefore, great care should be taken when selecting team members. It might be very useful to consider the following elements: team size, overall team composition, team member selection and exclusion criteria, and member recruitment process. Let's consider team size. The recommended size is a team of between 3 and 12 members. A team of 5 to 7 members is best. Small teams, 3 or 4 members, work faster and tend to produce results quickly, but there is less diversity. Teams greater than 7 or 8 members require an expert facilitator and the creation of sub-teams to operate effectively. They have the potential for creating more ideas and being more diverse. Overall team composition. Ensure that the team represents the stakeholders involved in the project. A well-rounded team includes a mix of members from relevant organizations involved in the project, having a wide range of expertise and skills. Consider members who belong to relevant partner organizations or organizational units of the project and have different abilities, such as technical expertise and skills, administrative skills, such as problem-solving and decision-making skills, and interpersonal and communication skills. The team could include people who understand the project very well, for example, those already working in cancer control, such as public health specialists, HIT Institute program managers, informatics societies, professional associations, and patient groups, or people who are technical experts, such as healthcare providers from HIT services, or people who can provide objectivity in the process and outcomes, such as NGOs, community leaders, cancer patient self-help groups, non-health professionals, and suppliers, such as pharmaceutical departments or funding agencies. Useful questions for team building. Who are the team members, team leaders, and team liaison members? What is the reason this team exists? What is the common vision? What are the goals and targets? What are the norms that will guide how the team will work together? What results are expected from this team? What are the outputs expected from the team and by when? To whom should they be given? What is the agreed-upon strategy? What are the steps to be followed by this team? What are the team roles and who will play them? Who is responsible for these roles? What are the norms and methodologies about decision-making, problem-solving process, conflict resolution, communication, cooperation, and responsibility, task management, meetings, and rewards? What are the resources available to support the teamwork? Who will support the team if needed? Activity 2. Now that you have been introduced to the behaviors and characteristics vital to team development, you are going to be provided a scenario with biographical sketches of four distinct roles. You are to select five individuals to become members of a team for a specific HIT task. You will also provide the rationale for your selection choices. And as before, feedback is provided on the deliverable by the instructor. The scenario is as follows. There's a dental practice that has two offices. The dentists in these two offices have decided to purchase an electronic system for patient charting and billing. You are to create a team from the following roles. The two dentists, one in each office. Two office managers, one in each office. Four front desk staff, two in each office. Four dental hygienists, two in each office. As you did activity two, using the multi-office dental practice that wanted to implement a digital radiology software system between their two offices, you understood that you needed five people on the team, and these five people needed to be committed to the team goals of obtaining the radiology system. Overall, effective team members also acknowledge and confront conflict so that it can be managed in appropriate ways. And they do that by listening with understanding. They expend a considerable effort to understand what is said, who is saying it, and why. As you did the activity, you realized that there were others included in the decision-making. That is why there had to be five people on the team. It would have been just as easy for one dentist to go in and decide what would work for the overall practice, but the other members of the team are also needed to contribute and help choose the best system that would work for everyone involved. Recognizing and respecting each other's differences is also something that is vital in validating the reasons behind the system purchase. Effective team members are also very good at contributing their own ideas, but they value others' ideas and contributions as well. The best day for the HIT team is when they realize that they have achieved their goal in choosing the best system for the two offices. They will also take great satisfaction from positive comments expressed by other users of the system after it has been implemented. Teams should face meaningful challenges as a component of effective team building. They also need a strong performance ethic, and this can be developed within the team, provided by a leader informing the team.
Discipline within the team and across the organization creates the conditions for team performance. So the team needs to be clear on their expectations and the roles that each individual has as they perform on the team to accomplish the team's goals. On an HIT team, the discipline comes from each team member. Ideally, you will have people on the team that have a very strong work ethic, as well as the desire to achieve the goal in the most efficient and expedient manner. Because well-configured teams will outperform individuals, it is important to see the team as a basic unit of performance in the organization. Finally, team dynamics must be implemented that support team learning and change as the team grows through its life cycle towards fulfillment of its goal.
Now that you have completed working in Teams Unit 2, forming and developing a team for HIT-related activities, you should be able to describe the stages of team development, identify the needs of the team at each described stage, establish and clarify common goals and purpose for a team, identify key characteristics of effective team members, and identify key factors to maintain teams. We believe that you are well on your way to working in teams and providing much better performance levels for your teams.